following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
He's an American icon who fought in World War II, gave you Martin Lewis, Martha Ray, George Gobel, Tennessee Ernie Ford, Andy Williams, Fried Green Tomatoes, Spinal Tap, The Princess Bride, The Sure Thing, Stand By Me, The Declaration of Independence, People for the American Way, and a few TV shows.
Maybe you've heard of a couple of these.
All in the Family, Sanford and Son, Maude, Good Times, The Jeffersons, Hot L, Baltimore, One Day at a Time, Mary Harmon, Mary Harmon, The Dumplings, All's Fair, All the Glitters, Fernwood Tonight, America Tonight, Different Strokes, The Facts of Life, The Baxters, Archie Bunker's Place, Silver Spoons, Gloria, Square Pegs, a.k.a. Pablo, Who's the Boss, 227, Sunday Dinner, The Powers That Be, 704 Houser, Channel Umpteen and 3, One Day at a Time on Netflix.
All of the above with Norman Lear. It's all of the above with Norman Lear. What you do, you know that Norman Lear is just another version of you.
Oh, well, so the Ah Well sound you just heard is Norman Lear. And this is all of the above with the same. And with my great friend and sidekick here, Paul Hipp.
Good afternoon, Norman.
Good afternoon, Paul. And you are well?
I'm very well, thank you, and ready for another fine, fine podcast.
Yes. You know how I knew you were well?
How?
Because we've been together for a half hour before we got on this mic.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. So, and you asked me that a half
now,
an hour
now
ago.
Friends,
so the whole thing is a lie.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of lies.
And we're sitting at a table, and we're expecting any moment our guest for today.
Katie Segal.
Yeah, no, Katie Segal. But I wanted to say something extraordinary about her. So I'll say something extraordinary about her. She's extraordinary. And here she is. She's coming.
Oh, she's here.
Yeah, she's
oh, hi, Katie.
Katie Segal.
Hello.
Katie Segal.
Hi.
How
hi.
Are you doing?
I'm doing well.
So I understand that you grew up understanding.
Yes. This,
folks, you're going to hear a major statement here.
Yes.
That I could be your godfather.
Well, not could be, that you are. And, you know, the story goes back, you know, should we just tell them that I know you since I was born.
Yeah.
And that Norman introduced my parents to each other and growing up. So Norman is kind of the reason I'm here alive. And
I love that. I love that.
Growing up, I was always told, and because Norm, you were around. I mean, we went to your house and you came
oh,
to
yes.
our house and... You know, I was always told that you were my godfather, so I've always stuck to it.
Both your mother and father have such a very special place in my heart, in my memory, in my background, in my gederum, mm-hmm. in every part of me. And separately, because I knew your mom, Sarah Macon, was her stage name and the name when she became, we don't use the word secretary anymore, and she was really far more than that. In any event, our associate, Ed Simmons and I.
Right.
And,
on the Lux Hour, right? On the Martin and Lewis Lux?
On the wow. Martin and Lewis Colgate Comedy Hour.
Colgate Comedy Hour, right.
Colgate Comedy.
And I have pictures of her with Jerry Lewis in the hallway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What year was that, Norman?
That was 58 or 9
wow.
or something like
no,
that.
No, 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 no. It had to be before then because unless she was still working with you, I'm going to give my age away. I don't really want to. But, you know, if she was working with you after they got married, I don't know.
When did they get married?
They got married in 1952.
Okay. So in 1952, the invitation read, it was printed. It was printed as well as any piece of printing, a like printing could possibly be. Ed Simmons and Norman Lear invite you to the wedding or marriage and reception for their secretary, Sarah Macon, and Boris Segal at Ciro's, if you please, which was a major nightclub on the Sunset Strip.
Wow.
And it was an altogether unforgettable Well, for me anyway, unforgettable time.
I want to know why you thought they would be a match. Why would you think to introduce the two of them? Do you recall?
I don't know that I thought that. I don't remember that I thought that.
Oh, you just introduced them.
But I just happened to introduce them, and they went off and did their thing.
Wow. He's a great producer. He just knew.
He just knew.
He just knew.
Boris and I were great friends. Boris, as a kid, played in the Yiddish Theater in New York.
Right.
And here's a story that Boris told me that I think of every time I think of him, and I think of him so often. Yeah. There was a great Yiddish actor. My God, I can't remember his name. But only some people would remember anyway. But he was a very famous guy in the Yiddish theater. They were doing a play, and the last line of the play was a farewell line from an actor who was really the star of the piece, and it got an ovation. Mm. And it got an ovation, it opened on the matinee, and then it had the big premiere performance in the evening. And the guy says his line and gets his reaction. And this Boris Karnofsky? No.
Are you thinking of the actor?
I'm trying to think of the name, who was supposed to be dead. Sat up quickly and said, "Wait, I'll get my hat and go with you." I never forgot that story. And Boris spoke Yiddish brilliantly. So, oh, my God. He was so wonderful when he talked Yiddish. He was a great director, Boris Segal, and a wonderful man. And your mom was just the cat's meow.
Oh. That's so nice to hear.
This is great.
I know.
You guys got a lot of history.
We do. And my parents passed a long time ago now. So whenever I see... So long ago. They were young. And so when I see Norman, I just have a pull. You know, it makes me feel very familial to see Norman. Like when... I remember you had us for dinner. All the kids... We had Passover. Was it Passover we had at your house? Like 5 years ago or something? And it was just, you know, it was so special for all of us because we lost them so long, not to make this a maudlin interview, but we did. We lost them a long time ago.
She died in 75.
Yeah. And there's a lot of blanks that we were always curious about to know. Because, you know, when you lose your parents young, you can't go home and ask them what happened.
Yeah.
Who was I like then? Who were we like then? So... It's always nice to see Norman.
But it's wonderful that you guys are really close. I mean, you siblings have stayed together.
Pretty close. Yeah. I mean, we're all, you know, we have our sibling stuff, but we're all in the same city. And and we're all in the same industry. Even though David is a lawyer, however, he's at Warner Brothers.
Yeah. I do see David because he's a good friend of George Clooney's become friendly. And so I see him independent of all that, too. As a matter of fact, we saw each other recently.
Huh.
I love him. He's a great guy.
I know. He's great. Really
and it gives me, I get a great kick out of thinking that I have twins who are 23 now. And when they were 22 or so, your sisters, the twins, we did a show together.
You did? Yeah. Were they eight? Weren't they younger? I think they were 18.
Maybe they were
18. 19. They were just right out of high school. And, they did the show Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Right.
Yeah. We didn't, from a production standpoint, I wished we had gotten it better. I think they were wonderful.
Yeah.
Wait, your sisters?
I have twin sisters that are younger.
Mm-hmm.
They're now a writer and a director. But at the time, they weren't really actors. But they were so adorable. Then they became actors after that. But... They were the Doublemint twins for a while.
Oh, really?
And then there was a whole series that Norman, they were, I don't know if it was written around them or
it was written around them for them.
Yeah, it was written for them. And they were it was on for 4 years on NBC. And
It on that long?
Yeah, it was 4 years. Yeah.
Brent, we got to look into that.
No, that was it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain people, this is a funny story. My current husband started as a writer on The Shield, which was a great show.
Yeah.
And the guy that ran that show, his name was Sean Ryan. He is Sean Ryan. He was just a total fanboy for the Double Trouble twins. And it was a badge of honor that my husband was dating me because of my sisters.
Wow, so you really grew up in showbiz.
But I don't, you know, my parents had such a sort of down-to-earth view of it.
Yeah.
It was really my father, I would call, they just weren't real glamorous people in whatever you consider Hollywood people.
Right.
They were very hardworking. My father was a Russian immigrant and grew up with nothing and just really had a great work ethic. He didn't paint this as anything but hard work. I mean, great work if you can get it, but you know, it was never brought to me that this was going to, you know, be the magic fairy dust that would, you know, change my life forever, which it kind of did. But, you know, it was more presented like, you know, this is really something to take serious if this is what you're going to do.
In the history of smiles that I have known, the smile of Boris Segal is forever imprint on me.
Wow.
Oh, my God, I loved how he smiled.
Yeah, he had a great smile. He really did.
And I guess, yeah, I wonder if everybody with a great smile is a storyteller, too. He was such a storyteller.
He was?
Oh, he was. He was for me. I mean, he...
Right. You know, it's so different, your perspective of your parent. And then, because I run into people that worked with him, that knew him, that say things, and I'm like, really? You know, because I didn't really see that side at home. And, you know, I saw pieces of that. But, you know, so it's always really nice to hear that.
When we get older, too, we think about it differently.
Oh,
when we get to be the age they were, and you flash on like, oh, wow, what was my mom like or what was my dad like at this age?
And you get compassion.
But, and you get compassion.
You have compassion.
Yeah,
but Katie Segal, your history, I mean, your personal career. You know, I asked somebody to print out a few pages. I can't get over what I knew and didn't come to mind quickly and what I never knew.
Right.
My God, you've had a wonderful career.
It's been, yes.
And it continues in a show that's doing very well now.
No, I'm still working. It's awesome. It's great. I just want to be you, Norman. I want to be like you and Judd Hirsch, who I work with, who blows my mind all the time.
Yeah.
At his young 83 years. That's just fantastic.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. And I'm doing a show now about that generation.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. That's so exciting. Because you remember you told me when we were in Austin, we did that little, whatever we did, and it had gotten passed on, and you'd put it aside, and blah, 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 and then I guess you resurrected it.
I wrote it in 2010.
Ah.
8 years ago. And
not 1910.
Not 1910,
no,
right?
No, not 1910. 19, but I only had 10 years to go before 12 years, and then I was here.
And here you were.
Wow.
Yeah.
See?
1922. You know, 1922 was the year of the dog.
It
Chinese
was?
Chinese year of the dog. And today
is the year of the dog.
Is the year of the dog.
Today's the Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
I do know that.
Do you know what your Chinese New Year year was? Animal?
I did know that. No, I'd have to look it up again. I'm almost thinking it's the rat, but I don't know what that means.
We were going through this one time, and my friends were like, wow, I'm the bear. I'm the lion. And I looked at mine. I'm the bunny.
You're the bunny.
I was like, so emasculated. Everybody's like, yeah, I'm the bear. I'm the horse. I'm the bunny.
In your career, if I think of couples that I've enjoyed, that I've added, this is a big statement, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart, have added time to my life, because I believe laughter does that, joy does that. You and Ed O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. It added joy to my life,
too.
Oh,
my God.
Hysterical, right?
I know. How funny you
were. It was the greatest job. You know, what happened was I didn't really have experience as an actor. I was really, I was a singer. I was going to be a singer. I told my dad, no, I don't want a SAG card. You know, he kept trying to get me to like, why don't you just do this little line and I'll get you in the union and you'll always have health benefits, which I actually ultimately did do. And I thought that was really smart. But at the time I was like, no, I'm going to be a rock singer. I'm a musician. And I would play my songs. And I actually did pretty well. I made some records. I went on the road with a lot of people. But when it came down to it, I just was always struggling. I was just always like... And when acting came to me, which came to me sort of late in my 20s, I'm just getting to the point that Married with Children was one of my very first jobs. I had done a short series with Mary Tyler Moore, which was my first job.
What series was that?
It was when Mary played a divorcee. Nobody liked it. She was, it was called The Mary Show, and it was me, and Danny DeVito directed it. He cast me. And I had come from, like, they'd seen me in a rock musical down at the Mark Taper where I played this Russian poet who spoke no English. I sang the entire piece, and it was this very serious drama. And CBS came to the thing, and they said, would you audition for a sitcom? And I thought, well, that's really weird. You just saw me being, like, gushrying on the stage. I was crying. So I did, and I got that gig. I got that job. And so that lasted a little while, and then Married with Children came right after. And so I say Ed taught me all that entire environment taught me so much about comedy and that world and timing and just being.
Oh my God!
It was such a great gig too to go to. You know, like you go and you laugh your ass off every day.
How I laughed at that show!
Oh,
how
good.
I laughed at
it was funny.
Is it true that it was your idea, the bouffant, you wore to the audition?
Yeah, she was written more like, they wanted her to be like a couch potato, which ended up being like Roseanne. I mean, they wanted her to be that. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
What was the name of the two guys that started the
Ron
show?
Ron Levitt and Michael Moy.
Okay, Michael Moy.
Yes.
Michael Moy won a contest in my name in college.
Right.
The Norman Lear, I don't know, Television Writing Award or something. And he wrote a piece. And we brought him out and put him to work on the Jeffersons, I think, or Good Times. And I remember the day that he came. It was a play he had written that won the college thing. And I said, you're going to have a job, whatever it is, 20 weeks or whatever on the Jeffersons. But not without making one promise to me. He said, what? I said, you will write a play every year.
Oh.
And we shook hands.
And did he?
And I don't know if he did. I never found out.
Wow.
Because I don't think he did. He became. But it was no surprise to me that 8 years in or whatever, however many years he had enough. He had all the money he thought he needed, and he quit, and he went to
North Carolina.
Really?
He went, well, they made a lot of money on Married with Children, and then he was done. That was it.
That was it. He knew what he wanted.
Yeah,
every step of the way.
That's rare. Yeah. That's kind of incredible.
And did we mention he was the black dude?
Yeah, he was the black dude.
Yeah.
And Ron was a Jewish dude, you know, the pair that always goes together.
Yeah. I thought he was one of the most remarkable, Michael Moy.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most remarkable people I ever met. And I've talked to him since, and I can't remember right now what it was I called him about, but I've reached out to him a couple of times over the years because he's made such an impression on me.
Oh, that's good. And they were great to work for, those two guys. You know, I went through a lot of kind of personal upheaval on that show. I had both my kids. I had a child that I lost while I was on the show, and they were the most considerate people to work for. They just they just loved me through some hard times. While you're on a show for 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah, and it's like you live a life. I mean, you live a life with those people.
Yeah.
So. You know, and I couldn't have asked for nicer, more considerate people. So I'm always really grateful about that.
Isn't it true that we live lives end on end, and then we live them lives within lives?
Oh, absolutely.
You were married, you were divorced, you lost a child, and you were married to the show at the same time.
Yeah.
And each was a life.
Each was a life, yeah. And sometimes, you know, I look back on it now, and I think, like, you know, I feel like I missed a lot of that life. Like, you know, like when there's too much life, there's so much life going on at one time.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, you know, and you look back and people will say to me, do you remember when we did blah, blah, blah? I'm sure this happens to you constantly.
Oh, yes.
And you're like, oh, no, I don't. And I wish I wish I did. But
we don't have any concept of being in the moment, of being in the now.
Yes.
Of any of those things that I think about now, the things that I think that I missed in my life. That are just blurs, or they're not even there in my head.
Right.
People tell me stories, and I have no, because I was on to the next thing. I was
always,
I was three
always.
Places ahead.
Yeah.
So now we learn to
be in the now.
Be in the now.
Yeah. It's really true. It's like I remember when, you know, they used to say when you're older, they would say if young people, I don't even know the phrase now, but if I knew now what I knew then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's truly my life experience now, too. I feel so much more like I'm present for what's going on. But that's a conscious choice.
That you need to work at.
Yeah, you have to work at.
But do you live with regret that you weren't some years ago who you are now, I mean, mentally, emotionally?
No, I do not.
Neither do I.
I don't have regret. And I'm also not mad at anybody.
Isn't that nice?
That's one of my, you know, there may be a few people mad at me, but I am not, I don't carry that. I don't have that.
You know, I haven't thought about that, but I think that is true of me, too. You know, I've talked about my dad who went to prison when I, you know, needed him. But I don't remember that I was ever mad at him. I never, you know, I get big laughs talking about him. And so we're even.
I'm sure at the time, though. Maybe at the time you were. Like, I remember being pissed off at my parents and, you know, I was like a, you know, a rowdy younger person. I had a lot of anger, a lot of rage. But, you know, what's happened just as you get older, you just let it go. As you do.
Well, it's you survive and then you learn because you get tired of being so uncomfortable between here and here, pointing to his ears. I was full of rage and anger. And then, and then you go crazy when you're a kid.
Plus, I think you get older and you make your own mistake. You make mistakes. And then you go like, oh.
Right.
Oh, they didn't really. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, those people I was so upset with or my parents or whatever, they were just knocking around trying to figure it out. They made mistakes like I've made mistakes.
But even not regretting the past, I think that you come to. And it takes some work. You got to go through a period of like this jive kind of regret until you hear the message over and over again.
Is there a time you can look back at and think this was the best time
of my life,
of your life?
Oh, that's so hard to say because right now is a great. I love right now. I can think about some harder times. I can go like, oh, that was a really not so great time, and then, but I don't really think, you know, certainly. Having my children was definitely high points of my life. It's funny. None of it's really related to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
The high times didn't relate to the...
Well, you know, work, and I think that comes back to the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Work was work. I mean, certainly I've enjoyed things I've done. When I was on Sons of Anarchy, that was such a challenge for me as an actor that it was always, like, inspiring and, you know, it was new for me. So those days were great, but I don't consider them the high highs, even, you know, winning an award or something. It's like, you know.
Like a Golden Globe?
Yeah, like a Golden Globe. The high was great, but, you know.
But the high may be, the bigger high is related to something you can remember with a kid.
Yeah, with a kid or, you know, meeting my husband, who I love my husband so much. You know, just stuff like that. Those are, that's pretty high.
Do you have a best time that you look back on?
I've come to the conclusion that this is it.
I agree with you.
I
think this is it now.
I know I've said this before on the show, I've expressed the idea, but I haven't said this because I could never say this. But right now, it has taken me 95 years, some months, some weeks, some days, some hours, some minutes and seconds, to get to the moment where I'm looking across the table at Katie Segal, and she just moved her head a little bit and smiled. It took me another couple of seconds to see that smile, and I'm looking now at Paul across from me. And the seconds are mounting, and they are the moment where they're alive.
Mm.
So I believe this is the highlight. It's the moment I'm living.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
That's consciousness. I think all this stuff about what was the best time ever for you, these are all just the mind-made self, these electric storms in our brains that are not real. And then there's – but I once heard it put best by Eckhart Tolle, and I'll make it brief. But consciousness is, if you think about when you were 10 and who was around and what was the furniture and what were you wearing and, you know, think about when you were 20, same thing, who was around. Everything's changed. Think about when you're 30, who was around, what was the furniture. Everything's changed, but there's this constant that, as I think back, runs throughout it all, the isness of me, consciousness. And so I think that that is when we're in the now. It has to be the best times.
Right, because it's the only time.
And that's why to practice that idea of being in the now, to really be in the now, to recognize this is the best time.
Right.
Yeah. I think two of the least or overlooked, most overlooked words, little words, are over and next.
Right.
Something's over, it is fucking over. And we're on to next.
Right.
And if there was a hammock in the middle of those two words, that would be the best definition I know of living in the moment.
Right.
Living in the moment between over and next.
Mia says she thinks about every night when she's going to get ready for bed, she thinks about you saying in reference to that, I'm already thinking about, you're at I think it was your birthday party where you first, that occurred to you.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, this party is wonderful, but I'm already thinking about tomorrow's cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And Mia said she thinks you every night when she's going to sleep because she thinks, oh, tomorrow's cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
It is pretty great.
I usually fall asleep thinking
about tomorrow's cup of coffee.
About the cup of coffee in the morning, yeah. Mm,
that's nice.
Have you tried really buttered coffee, the new
I have.
Craze?
Yeah, I've tried every craze.
Yeah, I tried buttered coffee with the you put the protein in it
and
all
the oil
stuff.
and the
oil.
Yeah.
And then you,
And then you're supposed to like be, you know, energized for the whole. It didn't do that to me.
Have you heard of this?
Why have I not heard of this?
It's a new fad. It's a new fad. Yeah.
And
they call
how
it
you
bullet
butter,
coffee. You actually put
bullet coffee. Exactly.
Bullet coffee.
Yeah.
You put butter in your coffee.
Yak
it's
butter.
High fat. It's a high fat cup of coffee, and it's supposed to sustain your energy throughout the day and give you a big burst of energy.
Because the caffeine molecules supposedly bond with the yak butter molecules, right? And they break down over time during the day. So instead of getting that drink two cups of coffee and get a big buzz and then a crash, this sustains your speedy high throughout the day.
Doesn't work.
So
no, but it makes you poop for about a day.
So you have a cup of coffee or, you know, a large cup of coffee.
Yeah.
How much butter do you put in it?
A tablespoon.
Just a tablespoon of butter.
And the blender. Yeah, you blend it.
Oh, you blend it.
Because it's like having cream. It's like putting cream in your coffee because, you know, butter and cream are kind of the same.
Yeah.
And then you put this, like, coconut oil in there. Coconut oil is supposed to be really good for you. And then you can put collagen in it.
Collagen protein powder.
Protein collagen in it, yes.
What's collagen in it?
It's from the beef. It's from the cows. It's collagen. It's like our bodies are...
It's in the bones, right?
It's in the bones or something, yeah. I don't know enough to be... I'm not an expert. I'm just a fad trier.
We can anticipate another company like Starbucks...
There's
Starbucks does it?
Starbucks doesn't do it, but there's bullet coffee places.
Yeah, there are bullet coffee places already.
Bullet is that?
Bullet coffee, yeah.
The way you understand bulletproof, yeah.
Yeah, bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, but you know, there's a whole lot of nonsense around. Like the guy who started says like the beans don't have some kind of like impurity. That, I don't know.
He has special beans. What's marketing?
He has special beans. It's all marketing, right? Well, you know, I put in there... You know, my friend, the surfer, Laird Hamilton, he's got a new line of these coffee creamers that have, like, healthy stuff in them. And one is turmeric.
Oh, turmeric. Oh,
which is supposed to be very good for you.
Turmeric, which I pronounce until this moment as turmeric.
I thought so, too. And so I is it turmeric or turmeric?
I think it's turmeric.
Or I would add
what did I say?
Turmeric? You said turmeric.
I said turmeric, right?
It's Indian. I think the Indian would call it
turmeric. But somebody checking on that.
On the turmeric?
It is turmeric.
Turmeric. I said it correctly. Right. Okay, good. I feel smart on the radio. But this, you put it in your coffee. Oh, my God. It's so good.
Is it?
It's like magic stuff.
Oh, I'm going to try.
Yeah, Laird Hamp. I think this big wave surfer, you know, he invented this because it turns out he's also a coffee fanatic. Who knew?
Wow.
Surfing big waves and making good coffee.
Katie, what else should I be asking amid this widespread career of yours?
I have a new band.
You have a new band?
I do.
Yes?
I have a new band. We were just talking about, you know, actors who who want to be musicians, and then there's a few of us.
And the church is both crazy.
That were musicians before we were actors. And so, I mean, one of the heartbreaks of my life was I really wanted to make another record. And I got on Married with Children. And I finally got a record deal with Virgin Records, which was a big, big deal. And my record came out. I wrote everything on the record. I have felt very proud of the record. And I would go to radio stations, and all they would talk about was Peg Bundy. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, this is, you know, this was my dream come true. You know, you just never really know what's going to come from what. But now I play music. I play music for fun and for free. Not quite for free. The musicians need to get paid.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, so I have this new band, and it's a band that reminds me of when I started playing in bands, because everybody sings. It doesn't have my name in front of it. It's a band name.
Oh,
called
cool.
The Reluctant Apostles.
The Reluctant Apostles.
Yes, which my husband named. And just kind of funny name. And then we all sing and we all play, and they're all great musicians, and it feels more communal than just like the Katie Show.
And how often do you get to play together?
Well, we're booking more gigs now. I mean, we're kind of lazy. We don't like to go too far from home. So we've been playing really locally quite a bit, you know, a couple times a month. But it's just really, it's so satisfying for me because, you know, when I first started playing in bands, I would be the girl in the band. I wouldn't sing every song. I love to sing harmonies. I bang on the tambourine. I play bongos. I play guitar. I do, you know, it's like I'm one of the... You know, it's the way
happen to smoke a cigar, do you?
I don't.
No.
Okay. I don't. But I really like being one of the group. It's the way I like being on sitcom, too, in acting situation. I like being one of the bunch.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really fun. That's what I'm doing.
What is your favorite thing to sing?
What's my favorite thing to sing? Oh, I don't know.
All of them.
I like to sing. I just love to sing.
I'll go directly to it. I'm trying to get to see if I can get you guys to
try
out something in harmony.
There's a couple guitars here.
Oh.
No.
What do you think?
No.
It's up to you if you want to. I mean, I would, you know, entirely up to you.
I'm not a great guitar player. Are you a great guitar player? Guitar player?
Oh, he's a wonderful guitar player.
We could do Goodbye. I know that song.
I don't know all the words. I'd have to. Oh gosh, really?
Do you want a guitar or should I
play
a guitar?
When we sit around with the guys on cigar night, with guitars, so everybody plays an instrument but me. I'm the only fool that doesn't play.
Who's in the cigar group? Who are they?
All the guys from the top guys from Concord, which I was a part of for some years. Concord Records, Glenn Barros.
Oh.
John, you know John Burke?
No, I don't know John.
You never
Burke.
Ran into those guys?
Uh-uh.
And what's his name with the sax?
Dave Koz.
Bob Saget.
Oh. The well-known musician.
Does
Bob
he play?
Saget.
Bob Saget.
Yes.
Plays?
Yes.
Oh, he plays the guitar and sings. He's terrific.
Is he?
He plays show tunes.
Oh,
a lot of show tunes.
On the guitar?
Yeah.
He's great.
I'm going to tune this real quick.
I don't know if I'm in like a really good voice. You're going to ask me what key. You're going to ask
A.
me questions I don't know the answers to.
You do that song in A.
I do?
Yeah. Because this is a professional podcast with professional podcasters. We know that.
I remember.
Oh my God. See, that's already magic. We can just sing a little.
Okay, I have to find the lyric.
She's on her.
I remember holding on to you. All the long and lonely nights I put you through. Somewhere in there, sure I'm
all of the nights down in Mexico. get my life again. Was I just off somewhere just too high? Can't remember if we said
goodbye.
That's right, Norman.
But I recall. In my life again.
Was I
just off somewhere? Was I just too high? But I can't remember if we said goodbye. If we said goodbye.
Oh my God.
Yay.
You're awesome.
How I pray it translated.
Yes.
The way it seemed in this room. I mean, I am.
I love the way that you sing that song with Jackson Brown on there.
On my record.
Your record of covers.
Right.
Uncovered, right?
I started to say a while ago when I got lost talking about your mom, Sarah. She was
a singer,
an associate, a secretary in those years. And she was followed by someone who I think of when you mentioned Jackson Brown, who travels the world following Jackson Brown. She retired from what she was doing a great many years ago, married well, terrific guy. She doesn't need the income. And she has turned up at Jackson Brown's for the last 15 years.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Everywhere.
He probably knows who she is. He's the nicest guy. I don't know if you know Jackson.
He's the sweetest guy.
He's the sweetest guy ever.
Yeah,
he should
really
have him on the show.
That
he's
would be awesome.
He's a great talker. He loves to tell stories. He's a great
I met him a couple times backstage at Bob Dylan shows. He seems to go see Bob.
Such a nice guy.
He's a very nice man.
Yeah. And he came and I was making this record of covers and we asked him to sing. And because he's one of those that I did a benefit or something and he was impressed that I was actually an actor that could actually sing.
Like really? Yeah.
I spent my life saying, no, you don't get it. I really am a singer.
Well, that's the funny thing we were talking about earlier because I know all these musicians. I'm a musician, so I make these friends of mine that are musicians. And they would eventually ask me about being like, an actor, are you an actor? And I'd tell them it drives me crazy when actors pretend to be musicians, which sounds elitist, but it came up. I spent the 80s playing clubs nonstop. Like, I mean, just playing every night to survive, you know, and playing in the street in order to pay for an acting class. We played, man. We earned it on the road and in the clubs. And, you know, but anyway, all the real dudes and girls that I've known, guys and gals I've known, real musicians out here, eventually we could have the conversation about being an actor, musician, and your name would always come up. You were the one. Have you heard Katie Sagal? No, she's a singer. No, she's like, you were always the one that was like,
how did that make you feel?
Well, see, that's great because, you know, it's so funny. I was talking to my daughter about this the other day because now my older kids are both actors and musicians and, you know, they just all do. And she goes, Mom, I don't really care about being famous. So I said, you know, honey, I never cared about being famous either. I just wanted my peers to respect me. Hmm. I wanted the people that I thought were so great to let me in their club and be like someone that they thought was so great too. And she totally agreed with me. She was like, yes, that's what I want too. I said, but you know, you want to make a living also.
Right.
You know, a nice pat on the back is great, but you also want to make a living. You have to be practical.
Isn't it funny, the thing you said about you had the show, you got the deal with Virgin, the dream thing that you wanted as a musician, but now you have the show, it's a huge hit, and now they all want to talk about that, but you want to talk about the show. It's always that way, though. If you just made the record and you didn't have the show and the record, what
nobody
if you,
would listen to it.
Well, if either that or what if you had one big giant hit that became that song, even though you've got all these other great songs. And so now they all just want to talk. Now it's 20 years later and you only get to sing that one song.
And you're
song.
Only singing that song.
You're singing that one song, you know, on a bill with Loverboy.
No. I'm so glad my life is my life.
It all turns out, right?
It really is. It
I'm
does.
So glad my life is my life.
That's a song, right? That song.
Yeah. I'm so glad your life is your life, too.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
Because it looks so good on you and sounds so great from you.
Thank you, Norman.
You're welcome, Katie.
But is it funny? Everything's exactly how it's supposed to be. It just is how it's supposed to be.
So did I read somewhere that you consider yourself culturally Jewish?
Culturally Jewish. Well, you know, my family never – I remember my father took us to temple like one time.
Uh-huh.
One time he tried to do Passover with a Moshe Oisha record. I don't know if you know who that was.
What is a Moshe Oisha record?
He was a cantor, and my dad didn't know how to do the Passover ceremony. And my little Yiddish grandmother, Rose, who was basically a socialist and had no religious anything.
Right.
I'll never forget. This was like a heartbreaking moment. She literally like laughed at my dad for what he was trying so hard to do. And at that moment, I understood my father in so many more ways. When I saw his mother.
He was trying to conduct the Passover service.
He was trying to have the Passover service. He was trying to bring that into our house. And we never, you know, we always celebrated Christmas. My mother was a Presbyterian, and we kind of went that route.
Right.
And because he'd never been raised religious. But he was trying. And someone's calling,
it's the Norman. It's the Lear phone.
The Lear phone.
The Lear bat phone is never turned off.
Oh, really? In case? It's important?
Kids.
Oh, for his kids.
Yeah.
Who is it? Is it a child?
Although one time it would
He's answering.
Hello.
He's answering.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Lynn.
What time are you coming home tonight?
I don't know if I can answer that question on a podcast.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, you're live on the air.
Norman, oh my God. Hi.
That's Katie Segal. It was the woman's
Hi,
voice.
Katie.
Hi, Lynn. Hi.
Lynn, say something controversial so we can make news.
Yeah, it's a good thing I didn't ask you anything personal. I'll leave it to you. I should have known.
Anyway, how are you feeling? She had ankle surgery a week ago.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
An ankle replacement.
Ankle replacement.
I didn't know they could do that.
They replaced it with this bottle of water. They replaced it with a bottle.
Oh, my God.
No.
What would they think of next?
One of those flexible little tubes.
Really? Was that from high heels? Let me ask you, did your ankles go from high heels, right? I tell you, they're the devil's shoes.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's why I'll never wear those again.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I know they make you look good. Guys like them. But,
so she's lying in bed, in a hospital bed at home.
Right.
With her ankle raised above her heart.
Oh, that's right.
And a big cast.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm getting to watch all the TV and read all the books that I haven't been able to do for the longest time. So it's kind of
Have you watched
a vacation out of it.
Did you watch The Crown on Netflix?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, so good. Right.
So ankle surgery sounds pretty good.
Well, you got to make the best of it, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So in answer to your question, I will be home early, 6-ish, 6:30-ish.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
That's what I wanted to know.
Here's a good Netflix recommendation, We're No Animals.
What's that?
Oh,
it's a movie that I made with John Cusack and Al Pacino. Thank you very much.
So
if you like The Crown, watch the Royal House of Windsor.
Oh, really? Okay.
BBC British documentary about the Windsors. It's very interesting. Follows the crown.
I will
very,
like that.
You know,
oh, good.
Very interesting stuff. Okay, we'll go back to your show.
Love you, Lynn.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Aww.
Lynn Lear, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got six kids. 5 girls, 1 guy, and I've told them always, I'll never turn off the phone, you'll always be able to reach me.
Aww.
So I try to do that.
That's so sweet.
Although one time we had Ed Asner on the show because you pulled it out, you thought it was one of the kids, and it was Ed Asner, remember calling?
Oh, yeah. And once with Carl Reiner, but What the hell?
That's fun.
What the hell?
Hey, let's do an episode where we look through your phone contacts and just see who's in there. Yeah. We just call people randomly.
You know,
that would be a good show.
At this age, there may be more people who are past.
I was going to
in my Rolodex.
Well, imagine if we did an episode where we got in touch with them. That would be something. We would get ratings.
I know. It's the truth, right?
It's the truth.
Well, it's in that song in the video we did for all the voices up inside my head that start to chat. What is that song? It says, for all the contacts, for all the names in my contacts, even though they're gone and they ain't coming back. Right. For everyone who's scared of getting old, isn't that kind of the goal?
That's his lyric. Oh, that's a very good lyric.
We did a video. It's called Happy Birthday to Me. I wrote it on my 50th birthday. And we did a video where Norman is doing the song. He's lip-syncing the lyrics.
How great.
Lyrics.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, look that up now.
I'll look that up later. That's two plugs I got in for myself on this show.
So good.
Yeah, it's real good. Katie.
Hi, Norman. I know. I want to, like, hi. Like, yeah.
So
yeah,
Sons of Anarchy, that was a big change, right, for you?
It was a big change.
Yes. Was that a challenge? What was that like?
Oh, that was tough. She had a tough time.
It was great.
I only say that because that's what you said about 40 minutes ago.
I did. I said, yeah. Well, it was tough. It was good. It was really.
But you surprise people.
Well, because I think, you know, I'm so dramatic. Like, my parents used to always call me, like, Sarah Bernhardt because I would cry at the drop of a hat, which I still, you know, I'm still very emotional. Yeah. So when I started being on comedies, I kept in the back of my, you know, I'm not like a comic actress. I'm an actress. Like, if it's written funny, it'll be funny.
Yeah.
If it's not, I'm not like a stand-up. Like, right now, the show I'm on, there's a lot of stand-ups on the show, and it's a very different rhythm. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought, oh, I think I'm really a dramatic actress. But once I was on Married with Children for 11 years, nobody would let me be in a dramatic actress. Mm-hmm. And I sort of got a little window open when I was on that show Lost, and they cast me as a dramatic role. And from there, it started to open up a little bit more. And then my husband wrote Sons of Anarchy, and he wrote that part for me. I know, which was amazing.
I didn't remember knowing that.
Yeah, he created that show. And so and it was meant to be sort of a minor case. He said, look, I wrote you a little thing. And then, you know, the network really liked that part. And so they asked him to expand it. And so that was why I got that shot.
What's he writing now?
He's now done, he's done several things, but now he's working on another motorcycle show called The Mayans MC, which is kind of follows a different mythology, but it's within that world and it's all Hispanic.
Uh-huh.
And so he's written it with a Hispanic guy. He kind of felt like a guy from New Jersey shouldn't be writing, you know, the Hispanic stories all the time. So he's got a partner and he's been doing that. And he's been doing some acting.
Is it on the Hispanic show now?
No, they're just shooting. They just got picked up and they go into production in April.
Oh, because I'm working with a Hispanic family on One Day at a Time.
Oh, I know. That's right.
And the kids could be in love with that show.
Oh, I'm sure they will
be. And I want to do something like that. I want to cross between networks.
Oh, well, this is FX.
Has it ever been done?
Huh?
That's never been done, has it?
To my knowledge, it's never been done.
Well, that's never stopped you before.
I want to see if it can't be.
Between networks, because usually they're the enemies, yeah, right?
I met the girl that's the star on your show, Justine.
Justina Machado. Oh.
We had the best time at the beauty parlor.
Isn't she great?
Yeah. Yeah, we were sitting there talking about the inequality in the award handouts for the Hispanic community. And she was like, you know, on about it. I was, you know, so we were rallying for her community. She's great.
She was great.
What a great conversation.
She's wonderful. She's wonderful. The show is, it rests on her and what's her face?
Season 2 out now. Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno.
Oh,
oh my God.
How great is that?
They're two glorious women.
I bet.
And two kids who are terrific. Well, anyway, I love the show.
Great.
And the show loves being. It's going to be interesting to see if it will be picked up for a third season.
When do you find that out?
Any minute.
Wow.
Oh.
Oops, was that the phone?
So has it been aired? The second season is on now?
Second season just went up a little while ago.
Oh.
And my family, I can't believe it because it never happened before. My family, my kids, three kids in New York and grandkids have all binged on it.
Aww.
They love the show.
That's great.
It really is. The family is glorious.
So after all these years, are you like anxious to hear about the third season? I mean, like after so many years of doing what you do?
Anxious is an overstatement. But do I care? Very deeply.
Great.
I care to keep this family together.
That's so good.
It almost transcends the fact that it's a show.
Right.
You know, these people working together in these roles are so glorious to watch. Mm. And it's so nurturing to see them growing as a family.
Right. I know. That's a good environment.
So, yeah.
That's a great environment. And 11 years on your show.
Right.
That had to go as smoothly as anything.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
Do you get to the point where you're thinking, oh, I'm tired of this. And then when it's coming to an end, you get real sad.
Well, it was funny because Ed and I had knocked around for a while. So we were like really grateful to have a job.
Yeah, digging the dough.
Every year. And the kids, were a little, you know, Christina Applegate is fantastic and David Faustino. I remember at a certain point them going like, we really want to be doing something. You know, we've never done anything else. And we kind of want to. Ed and I were just like, oh, my God.
You have no idea.
What it's like to not have this job, you know. So, no, we never really got tired of it. It did get a little like, you know, after 9 years, you start kind of telling the same joke. I mean, it's hard to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
But, no, we were sad when it was over.
You guys didn't age with it. They didn't play it that way.
No, we didn't really age with it. No.
When you said you have a band.
Right.
I thought, oh, my God, too bad they're too young for the Alta Cockers that we're introducing on Guess Who Died.
You never know. We might could be. Well, no, we're a little bit young
for them. Looking for, do you know of an older band?
An older
guys in their 60s and 70s and 80s?
Musicians?
In my band. There's probably guys in their 60s. Not 70s and 80s, but 60s. Yeah. I know guys. I know tons of guys that could be in that band. You must too.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Totally. Point,
all you got to do is go down to the NAMM show and
walk
through.
Yeah, that's right.
On Saturday afternoon, you'll have.
The NAMM show?
The National Association of Music Merchants. So anything that makes music, records music, anything having to do with music, imagine three football fields long, the convention center in Anaheim, and three floors. Okay, and just the cacophony. It's like a guitar center that's 300 yards
long. You've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Every musician goes to it.
Describe it.
Well, it's exactly what he's saying. And there's lots of, you know, musicians are trying to get endorsements from, you know, cymbal companies to drum companies to guitar companies to,
so there's musicians,
pedal companies to everything.
So how does it happen that there are lots of older people there?
It's a trade show. So if you have you.
Well, there's probably both. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's, you know, once it's like being an actor. You never age. It's like you. It's like musicians keep being, you know, we're still playing music. It doesn't matter how old you are. You know what I mean? I mean, it does, I think, probably in terms of commercially selling things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like if it's in your heart to.
I understand.
Yeah.
I've got to find 4 or 5 guys who are old enough to appear old.
So they need to look old.
And are they?
And likely they'll be, if they look old, they'll be old.
Are they the band in an old folks' home? Or they just
they're a surprise band, and they are called the Alta Cockers.
What kind of music do you want them to play?
They're going to play
70s, 80s?
They're going to play rock.
Rock music.
Yes.
Oh, you have to call me. I could totally hook you up.
Terrific.
Absolutely.
That's so funny.
I can find all those guys. You know.
Well, you know, we could end this thing here because I've got a reason to call KD. So.
It's done. Mission accomplished.
Let's talk just 1 second about Superior Donuts, which is that I'm on right now, and which also, see, because she's the publicist.
Yes.
See, it was also instantly had, like what you were talking about with One Day at a Time. It is instantly familial. like within, we're on our second season and we're all in love with each other. We love each other.
Great.
We nurture each other. Everybody knows about everybody's stuff. I mean, it's wild what goes on. It's kind of like high school.
In yeah.
a weird way. Yeah. You know, everybody knows about their families, each other's families, and, you know, and everybody from the crew, everybody. You know how that is.
You know that I saw Superior Donuts with my daughter.
In New York?
One of the twins, no, in Chicago, when it was playing in Chicago when
oh.
it first came out. And I was taking my daughter. I hope somebody will remember the camp, the music camp outside of Chicago. It's very well known. It's on the tip of my mind and tongue. And I was taking her there. We had an evening. And we went to see Superior Donuts.
Yeah.
And I met Tracy Letts after the show. And I just, it was a fabulous evening.
He kind of definitely gave us his blessing. But, you know, now we have, it's based on his play.
Yes.
And Judd Hirsch plays the head of the donut shop. And Jermaine Fowler is the young kid.
Was he the young kid in, is he black?
He's the black kid.
Was he the young black kid in the show that I saw in Chicago?
No.
Because,
no.
Oh, my God, I went nuts for him.
Yeah. He's the kid. You'd go nuts for him, too.
Yeah.
I think he came
here. He was
here.
He was here. He was here with Judd.
Yeah.
You had him and Judd on.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
They're so good.
They
so
were great.
We're waiting to hear on our pickup, too, for season three.
Oh, that's great. So we've got One Day at a Time at Netflix, which is the Latina version of the ancient One Day at a Time. And we've got Superior Donuts.
On CBS.
On CBS.
And we've got The Middle on ABC.
And
well, then you're already done. Middle's gone.
No, we're finished. This is our last season, but we're still
right.
on the air.
Oh, I know. They're still on the air.
Yeah.
So, and we have 60 seconds for anybody related to either of those shows to call and say you're picked up.
We have no chance.
Yeah.
You're right. I get it now.
Yeah, because anyway, you guys were already, this is your last
season. Yeah, this
season.
Is it. Yeah. Yeah, done.
I love you, Katie Segal.
I love you, Norman Lear.
And to be my favorite expression in the English language, I promise everyone who hears this, it'll grow on you, to be continued.
What does it mean, this life, this day and night?
So I'm Norman Lear, and you can find me, should you wish to hunt me down, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Norman Lear.
And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Paul Gibb.
And life is good, and space and time. Give me some of yours, I'll give you some of mine.
I'm Spencer Pratt.
And I'm Heidi Pratt with Gunnar Pratt.
The Miracle Baby. And
that's
this
right.
is the hashtag Make Spidey Famous Again podcast.
On podcast one.
We will be discussing the hottest action to ever hit the multiverse. Crystals, espresso, hummingbirds, celebrity gossip.
Parenting.
Of course. Make sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, and make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcast.
And keep your hate on somebody else's podcast review. Thank you.